Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with you today on this Watchman broadcast. We're broadcasting on the Omega Radio Network and Blog Talk Radio. Welcome once again to the broadcast this morning. Patricia Joy Xavier will not be having her broadcast following this Omega Radio broadcast on Wednesdays. She yields a day because we rush on over to Kerm Radio for another one-hour program of immediately following this broadcast. So just so you know, a heads up, Patricia Joy will not be broadcasting today, but so much of the information, so much of the revelation that she brings to the airwaves to prepare and equip the body of Christ is so relevant. And we walk hand in hand in that particular ministry on spiritual warfare. And today I want to talk a little bit about that. Now, in just a few minutes, Daniel Seckham will be calling into the broadcast. He'll be joining me on the air today. And while we're waiting for him to do so, I want to just share with you a few minor statements I heard the Holy Spirit give this morning, and then I want to share some scriptures to lead the way today. I heard the Holy Spirit say, take your stand, watch and pray, be sober to the end. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Put on the whole armor of God. He said, massive deception, deep darkness, tricks, schemes your life. And it is for that reason we do put on the full armor of God, and we are comforted by the words of our Lord Jesus Christ when he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. And he always causes the church to triumph. And that we are, as the church, more than conquerors. And the Lord has called us definitely to overcome. Now, we use that term so loosely. You know, there's a church of Satan, there's a church of New Age, a church of unity. The word that Jesus employed is the word ecclesia. And the word ecclesia is much more than just a 501c3 box of a bunch of people joining a club. Talking about spirit-empowered, Holy Ghost-motivated, moved, anointed, He's talking about men and women of every walk, of every race, every color, every tribe, every tongue, that have met the genuine Lord Jesus Christ, have bowed before him as sovereign Lord and Savior of their lives. Isn't it wonderful that we have a Savior? We have someone that has saved us. I don't know why, after 36 years, that sounds so beautiful to me, so comforting, so refreshing, but it just does. And I hope it does to you as well, that we have a Savior. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. There is no other Savior in the sense of eternal salvation. And yet in the kingdom of God, in the ecclesia, there are saviors and deliverers. For we are becoming like him. To that there is no doubt. And we are the mobile, walking tabernacle of God in the earth. And the power of God that walks in us, the devils and the demons and the darkness sees and flee when we allow that anointed one to stand up on the inside of us and that Holy Spirit to guide us into battle. We are not the fearful, frozen, chosen. We are the triumphant, militant church of Jesus Christ. And there's something to be said about all that in a humble way, in a humble way. We are in a war. There's no doubt about it. And so I want to just reiterate quickly, take your stand, watch and pray, be sober to the end. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling and put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because massive deception, deep darkness, tricks, schemes, and plots against your life are abounding in the earth today. Man, oh man, is that just the truth of God? And yes, it is. The Holy Spirit speaks these words. And then I want to share quickly, but before I do, I see Daniel is on the line. So let me just invite and say good morning to Daniel Seckham. Good morning, Daniel. How are you today in Australia, my friend?
Good morning, my brother. I'm doing really well. How are you?
I am doing well. Can't wait to have this conversation with you. And I just want to lay a little groundwork as we go. And then I know God's put things on your heart to share. Daniel, I want to get behind the scenes today. And I want to go all the way back behind what is operating behind the left. What is operating behind the George Soros? What is operating behind all the deception and corruption in our world today? Well, you and I know, because of the wisdom of the scriptures, that it's demonic. That we are in a demonic battle, we are in a demonic warfare, and I'd like to just lay these brief scriptures. I feel very strongly about this, and I'm going to turn it over to you, but I feel very strongly about releasing these verses, and I don't know the genuine, full, deep meaning behind it, but I feel it very strongly. There are several things the Apostle Paul said in his writings to the church, the different churches that he was ministering to, the ecclesia. And these were the finalies of the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians 13:11, he said, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." In Philippians 4:8, he said, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." 2 Thessalonians 3:1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, which I want to focus on today. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Philippians 3:1, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." And then 1 Peter 3:8, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, and be courteous." And Daniel, when I put this all together, I have a strong sense that the Holy Spirit, who has been at work equipping the saints of God, wherever they've allowed themselves to be equipped, that there's a finally moment coming right now. where the apostolic anointing is reaching out to the ecclesia saying, now finally, I've told you everything you need to know, but finally, here's the final instructions. And they seem to be very powerful. And I want to get to that one finally as we go today in Ephesians. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Why? Why? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. And I'm going to leave it right there, Daniel. And again, welcome to the broadcast. We're so glad that you tuned in. What are your thoughts about what you're hearing this morning?
Oh, gosh, where do I begin? well, I think in regard to what you've mentioned, we definitely need to be on our guard. We need to have our hearts prepared. We need to be aware. We need to be watching, and we need to be praying. There just seems to be a growing and growing intensity that we're witnessing happening within the culture at the moment. Even an actor, I forget what his name was, but he came out and he said that if the Democrats do not get the House from the midterm elections, there will be blood in the streets. So there seems to be more and more of a growing and growing and growing intensity. And we all wait with bated breath to see what actually how all this pans out. It just seems like the mainstream media is whipping up the public into like a frenzy, which is really, really, really concerning. I think that the Republicans will gain the House, but in doing so, I think that's going to unleash a whole new level of demonic manifestations from the left that we're going to see. And I think I think we really need to buckle your seatbelts, because you ain't seen nothing yet. I don't think this is going to be going away anytime soon. I think that the level of evil that we're witnessing is just going to be growing and growing and growing ever more exponentially. And so I think in saying that, people just need to prepare their hearts. They need to prepare their hearts, and they need to keep their eyes on Jesus, because the left are going to go from demonizing us to dehumanizing us. And that's exactly what happened in Nazi Germany. By the way, the reason why there's so much of Nazi Germany is dominating our not national conversation is because Nazi Germany, in a nutshell, is a prophetic parable for our modern times. Because when we look back to the time of Nazi Germany and to the time of Hitler, we see God saying in a rebuke to us and in a stern warning to Christian America of what actually happened to Christian Germany. You know, people, if you were to say to the people back in the 1920s what would happen to Germany within the space of 10 years, they would never have believed it. Would never, ever, ever have believed it. But it happened, you know. And they would have said to you, this would never happen. This is Christian Germany. This is where the great theologians have come from, you know. We have a heritage of faith. There's no way that something like that could ever happen in Christian Germany. Well, it did. And this is a sober warning to the free world and to the freest nation on earth, the United States of America, that if that could actually happen to Christian Germany than it can certainly happen to Christian America. And that is a warning that we need to heed.
Wow, excellent points. You know, Daniel, before I woke up this morning, like everybody else, thank God, you're just getting ready to go to bed. I know that. You're way late. But I just realized as we were talking, today is October 31st, and this is what they call Halloween around the world. And it just kind of emphasizes what the Holy Spirit was talking to me about this morning, about this whole armor of God. I couldn't figure out why all of a sudden we're going to Ephesians chapter 6. And I realized that this is the time where so many people in the world that have been demonically taken over by the deep darkness and by the massive deception, the tricks, schemes, and plots and plans of the devil will be cursing, vexing, hexing. There's a tremendous and a terrific amount of demonic activity that's already in the atmosphere, and it's rising. And so to the born-again, spirit-filled son and daughter of the Most High God that's living in the world today, in between empire wranglings and fightings and all the different things going on in the world today, the concentrated effort of the powers of darkness to destroy the witness of Christ in the earth, we cannot afford to have any kinks within our armor. I mean, you can't just be loosely dressed for this battle that is coming right now, because it is, in totality, a spiritual battle, is it not? I mean, this is demonic warfare at its heightened state.
Absolutely. If there's ever a time that it is so critical for the Christian to hear the voice of the Lord in these times, it's right now. You know, I mean, in the past, you could go through a life without not really hearing the voice of God. Well, I mean, living according to the word of God, but not having a great dependency on hearing his voice. And yet, you know, you can still get through life. But now, I mean, we have a growing absolute dependency on hearing from the voice of the Lord and hearkening to his call and submitting ourselves to his will. Because if we don't, I mean, we're finished. I mean, the enemy is in an absolute rage because he knows that his time is short. He's devouring saints left, right, and center. We're witnessing the great apostasy right before our eyes as a result of the rise of thousands and thousands of false teachers, which is a result of the church being so lax in its teaching of doctrine. And as a result, these false teachers have been able to rise up and begin to spread their poison easily, because the church is in such a state of weakness. But all these manifestations that we're seeing that Jesus talked about in Matthew 24, so, you know, he mentioned that there would be a great falling away. He mentioned that there would be an increase of wickedness. He said that you would be hated by all nations because of me. And he said that parents will betray their children, and children will betray their parents. And I mean, this is a shocking scenario, but all this is the result of a perfect storm. It's a perfect storm of a bunch of different why do we say a perfect storm? Because we say a perfect storm because there are all these different variables that all came together at the same time that made it possible for this storm to be as powerful as it is. And this is exactly how it is in the last days. I mean, basically we are seeing a perfect storm in regard to how people have become so incredibly full of themselves. And when people become full of themselves, they want to pursue selfish ends, which, you know, then they want to pursue wickedness, and as a result of in doing that, they naturally have a propensity to hate that which is good. And so we are, you know, Christians unfortunately are in the crosshairs. What's interesting, Vincent, is that back in the early church, it was the Christians that were actually labeled by the secular Romans. The secular Romans called Christians haters. They called us haters, would you believe?
Mm-hmm.
And now, fast forward 2,000 years later, they're still calling us haters. And this is the irony. because the left accuse us of the very things that they are guilty of themselves. You know, they accuse us of being intolerant, yet they are the ones who are the most intolerant of them all. They accuse us of being bigoted, yet when you look at the Oxford Dictionary definition of the word bigot, it simply means to be intolerant of someone else's opinion. And of course, it's so obvious that the left are the most intolerant of any of all other opinions. So they are guilty of the very things that they accuse us of doing, and they call us haters when they are the very ones who are full of hate for the righteous. And that's because they have become so wicked. And as Orwell says, the further a society drifts away from the truth, the more that they will hate those that speak it. And of course, this is nothing new. I mean, this is what Jesus said when he said that light has come into the world, but the darkness hates the light. And we're going to see this becoming more and more apparent in our society, and the wicked elements of society are going to become more and more darker. And the church is in such a weak position that it just can't stand up and fight. It can't. It's been compromised. It's been compromised in so many different ways. Part of the reasons, and again, this is another perfect storm. We've seen decades and decades of lifestyle pep talk preaching, and very minimalistic on doctrinal expository Bible teaching. And as a result, it's led to a vacuum of people who are not getting their. I mean, the people are not receiving their nutrition from solid Bible teaching, and as a result, they've become starved. It's kind of like you know, people who are overweight. Scientists have basically, or nutritionists have basically discovered that the people who are generally overweight are starving. They're starving for nutrients, but they're never getting it. And that's exactly the state of the church right now. There are people who are starving for the nutrients, but what they keep getting fed to them is junk food, which just keeps making it even worse. And so the problem, and as a result of this, the church has lost its ability to be salt and light. And when the church has lost its ability to be salt and light, it loses its voice to the culture. And when the church loses its voice, the world loses its conscience. And this is why we are in such a state of great wickedness today in the earth, especially in the West.
Well, amen to that. And Daniel, what I would like to do, you said something earlier in your exhortation to the body that was complementing what Kathy said yesterday from South Dakota, and I think is worthy of mentioning. And you talked about a great storm that is coming. And yesterday, Kathy said the same thing, yeah. A great storm is coming. When I heard that phrase, a great storm, it reminded me of a prophetic word that was written in 2003, and I want to just share it for a moment, and then I want to tell you something that'll thrill your heart personally in just a moment. So this is a word that was given by me in 2003, and it was titled America, England, A Furnace of Fire and a Great Storm of Violence Coming Against the Shores of America. And I want to briefly read this. It's very short. The heat is being turned up in America and England. Now, this is in 2003. America and England will become a furnace of great fire. There will be the smell of flesh being burned in the cities. Smoke and terrible destruction shall be seen and felt. A heavy blow will come to these once great nations because they have turned away from me. The masses have looked to the arm of flesh for their deliverance and not me. England has given itself over to psychology and is now reaping the fruits of mental double-mindedness. Her sister America has turned to secular humanism for the answers to life. In America, the masses, too, look to the arm of governmental flesh to deliver them from the destruction determined. Yet I say that the hypocrisy in America is seen in the democracy she has claimed to be the way of successful government. I ask, is not the government of the United States to be a public servant? Now, I want to stop that word right there, and I want to just shift over. On February 11th, 2003, this was titled, A Great Storm of Violence is Coming to the Shores of America. Now, this is 15 years ago. Write what you have seen and put it in a book so that he who reads may understand. I have seen the tidal waves of destruction mounting in the sea. I have seen the storm clouds draw near to the shores of America. I have seen the people fleeing in panic for their lives. The word of the Lord declares that what is about to come is beyond psychological warfare. The nation has been made afraid of an enemy they do not see. They have heard reports of terrorism and have braced themselves for the worst, only to find that wolf was cried once again. These are the ploys of the enemy working to psychologically affect the nation. However, the word that I have spoken, the word that I have written shall surely come to pass. The underlying hypocrisy in America is being revealed. The roots of sin have entangled the nation. And listen, America is ripe for judgment. I am declaring to America that her time to drink the cup has come. The exact time is in my hand, says the Lord, and I alone will execute my plan when all has been prepared. I have already warned America of the coming storm, and I have said that Euroclydon is coming upon the nation, and I have seen the repentance in some to whom I have spoken. Yet I will say that the multitude within your nation have ignored the warning and the call to repentance. Many, many in the churches of America remain lukewarm and continue to compromise with the world system called Babylon. I have determined to overthrow Babylon in 1 hour. In one day, all the riches of the Babylonian system will crumble, and the smoke of her torment shall rise up forever, and Babylon will never again rise to power. America has adopted the system of Babylon and has reigned for but a short time, and now her time has come to be pulled down with the final collapse of all nations. I will set up my kingdom in the earth, and I will set my overcomers in seats of divine authority, and many that have opposed them will come to them and know that I have loved them. Many who sought the praise of men while the Babylonian Empire reigned will come with bent knees to those who truly knew me. I say that there are too many in religious leadership in America who love their doctrines more than they love me, for if they had truly loved me, they would have loved those who were mine. Instead, they have rejected them and thrown them into the pit, seeking to do away with them so that they may continue in the limelight of man's admiration. Some will be judged, and yet though through judgment shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And they have labored to build will be burned in the fire. Those who have loved me and have continued to love those who are mine will receive the reward of righteousness and will be crowned with the crown of life. These will sit with the robes of an indestructible priesthood and reign in my courts forever. And then finally, it is during this time that third day anointing will be most powerful, as death will strike at every corner of the earth. Yet there shall be multitudes of resurrections, and those who are empowered will be cursed, blasphemed, attacked, persecuted, and led to destruction, but they will not die. And so the point is, I kept hearing yesterday, and then you said it again today, that a great storm is coming upon this nation. And when I looked over at the prophecy in England, I saw an invasion, a violent invasion of the Islamic world flowing into Europe. And then we heard the reports for quite a bout of time. And now the refugees are coming up to the borders of the United States of America, where the president, as you know, has sent 5,000 military troops to withstand whatever that may be. Is it going to peter out? Nobody knows. But we're seeing the signs of this violent storm that is coming upon the nations of the earth. And it's manifesting in so many different ways. And this is why God wants his people to be genuinely prepared for the spiritual battle and the things that we're going to see all around us, so that we will be navigated through this time of ultimate and utter collapse.
You know, it's interesting because when I was in Arkansas in last year in October, at the previous Feast of Tabernacles conference, I remember distinctly I actually saw, I think it was like a vision where I saw there were storms all around. But Northwest Arkansas was protected. But it was like these storms, like a vortex of storms going around, but they weren't coming anywhere near the sanctuary that God had prepared as a refuge in the last days. So that was interesting. That was something that I saw last year and something I mentioned to you back then. But also, too, I cannot help but think about the fact that George Washington had three distinct visions. And the first vision that he had was in regard to the War of Independence. The second vision that he had was in regard to the Civil War. And the third vision that he had, which has not happened yet, is to do with the third and most fearful peril. And if you don't mind, I'll just read this because I think it's interesting now that we've been talking a lot about storms. But it says this, Washington says this. He says, "Then my eyes beheld a fearful scene. From each of these continents arose thick black clouds that were soon joined into one. And throughout this mass, there gleamed a dark red light by which I saw hordes and hordes of armed men. These men, moving with a cloud, marched by land and sailed by sea to America, which country was enveloped in the volume of cloud, and I dimly saw these vast armies devastate the whole country and the villages, towns, and cities which I had seen springing up. As my ears listened to the thundering of the cannon, the clashing of swords, and the shouts and cries of millions in mortal combat, I again heard the mysterious voice saying, 'Son of the Republic, look and learn.' When the voice had ceased, the dark, shadowy angel placed his trumpet once more to his mouth and blew a long and fearful blast." Isn't that interesting?
Well, it's more than interesting. It's just an absolute confirmation. I'm really paying very much attention to that. And you know what it also confirms? A couple of weeks ago, probably a few weeks ago now, we said over this radio broadcast to the Saints that we're no longer in boot camp, that we're going to war. And then waking up this morning, hearing the Holy Spirit say, these are the finales. You know, I've given you as much instruction as I possibly can, and now we're going to finalize some things. And I think in the Holy Spirit, in the economy of the kingdom for the saints of God, there's a finalizing of preparation for this that we're talking about. This is not just a vanity of words and, you know, false imaginations on Halloween day, if you will. These are the instructions of the Holy Spirit to everybody that is listening right now and around the world. God will prepare and equip his people to walk through this moment, but it is not a moment that anybody can afford to be loose about. It is a very serious moment. That's why those words, take your stand, watch and pray, be sober to the end, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and put on the whole armor of God. You know, Daniel, I think we're in something. Let me just momentarily share something with you that would be of interest. I know you've been on an amazing journey, and I've been watching and listening, and God has really supernaturally blessed your life, and you've done a lot of work in the last several months, and your journey has been great, and we rejoice in that. Well, we were gone for 2 weeks, and just a few days ago, on a Sunday morning, we were sitting in the airport in Denver, Colorado, and Ken and Peggy and Patricia and I we just got off a long flight, 7 hours, and we had a 3-hour layover. So we went and found a place to get a little breakfast. And right at the very end of this airport, there's a place called Q or something like that, where they had scrambled eggs. And so we were tired at 7 a.m. And we went in, sat down, we ordered a meal. We're just kind of laughing and enjoying, you know, the whole journey. And who walks into the restaurant? Your dear friend, Joel Richardson. He's standing outside looking at a menu. So I I kind of interrupt our conversation. I shout to Joel and I said, yeah, it's a good enough restaurant. Come on in. It's good. And he looks at me and he smiles, hey, Vincent. And we had the most wonderful conversation for a good 45 minutes over breakfast. Ken and Peggy, Patricia wow. and I were talking with him, asking questions about things and what he's been doing. And it was just an amazing encounter again. So he actually was thinking of contacting us to do some radio time with us as well. And but very, very busy times going over in Israel, the Middle East. What is happening that's got your interest right now with your ministry, Islam, Israel, Islam in the end times?
Well, that's a very good question. One thing that I will say, when I did my fast before actually came over again, I was praying every day, and this might seem like a simple thing, but I was just praying that God would bless me with a new computer, because my old computer that I had was very, very slow and very old. And in fact, it wasn't even a MacBook Pro. It was just a MacBook, one of those white ones. And I think it was 2008 or 2009, something like that. But it was really old and very slow. So I said, Lord, you know, I've got all this video material that, but it's going to be impossible for me to be able to produce all these interviews with the computer that I've got. I need a powerful computer that has the processing power to render all these videos. And so anyway, while I was over in the States, I went up to Delaware, and my good friend, God bless his heart, took me to the department store and blessed me with a brand new computer.
Wow.
A brand new state-of-the-art MacBook Pro. Now, that has enabled me now where I can finally put together my the videos, all these videos that I have done, which means I can now nothing's really holding me back now. And oh well, there is, because I still need a bit of finance to be able to finance the documentary that I'm working on. But a lot of the interviews that I've done, I can now pump out, which is fantastic. I'm really excited, including the interview I did with Joel Richardson last year. So I'm going to be able to releasing all these new videos that I've been sitting on, which is fantastic. But apart from the videos and things like that, I'm releasing a new Israel Islam and End Times website, which will be going live very soon. So that's going to be exciting. Culture War Resource is still going strong. I'm going to be redeveloping my own personal website in regard to the latest blogs and things like that. So I think, and most importantly, I'm going to be focusing on my book and finishing my book and getting that out as soon as I possibly can. I'm going to be back in America next year in August for the next Understanding the Times conference, which I think is actually going to be changed to Discerning the Times, just so there's no confusion between the conference that Jim Markell is running. So it's exciting times. I'm going to be back in the States next year. Hopefully I'll have enough cash to bring the whole family. We'll see how that goes. But I'll probably be in the States for a fairly long time next year from August, and probably won't be heading back until maybe late September or early October, but we'll see how things go in regard to that. But but God has just been opening the doors, and I'm just flabbergasted with what the Lord has done for me. I'm just absolutely gobsmacked.
Well, amen. And so if you come in August of 2019, you probably should expect to stay until, let's see, that'd be around October 2024, should get us through the first part of this Great Tribulation, or the last part of the Great Tribulation. So we'll make sure there's a place for you here. That's not a problem. And Daniel, let me just shift. And that was a lighthearted joke, by the way. We're not going to keep you for 5 years. Yes, are you there? Did we lose you? I wonder why I didn't hear a smile from you or a giggle. Are you there, Daniel? All right. So he's not with us. Let me see if I could do a little adjusting here. Daniel, can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Uh-oh. All right. Let me do a little bit of this. We lost contact with Daniel Seckham, and that's okay. Daniel, are you there yet? All right, looks like we may have lost that call. Well, very interesting. He's dropped, and he'll be calling back in again. What I really wanted to reiterate on this broadcast this morning is the reality of our spiritual warfare. And I do believe the Holy Spirit is giving final instructions in our preparation on how to fight this good fight of faith that you and I have been called to. And we are not unfamiliar with the spiritual realm. Both Patricia and I have had experience in that realm and have come to understand by the Spirit of the living God that there is a very real demonic realm with fallen angels, demonic spirits of every kind, and there is a supernatural intelligence of evil that when it begins to concentrate upon one's life to bring about the destruction of a life, it can be a very powerful thing, and one needs to know how to war against that. A very dear friend of mine who does a lot of radio ministry, he's been out there and he's on the razor's edge. There's no doubt that this young man, a lot of people don't want to, you know, consider some of the things that he's talking about, but they're very intense. And just recently he brought up the understanding that many people in the church, in the body of Christ, are communicating about the spirit of suicide, that there are people that just want to kill themselves. They want to come to an end in their life. And he was talking about the many different emails that were going around, that one pastor was hearing from, you know, his congregants, I just want to die. I want to end. I want it to go be over. And so a spirit of death, a spirit of murder, a spirit of suicide, in the evil satanic intelligence of things is moving against the body of Christ. And this is why the armor of God is so important to us, especially that helmet of salvation, that mind of Christ, and the ability to say to these thoughts, to take them captive and bring them under the obedience of the word of God, to bind and to rebuke and to cast out. You know, I believe too many people are just too quiet in their spiritual warfare. And I just can't imagine a soldier getting released into the battlefield and not taking, you know, his weapons of war into action. And you and I are leaving boot. We've been told by the Spirit we're going into war. Excuse me. And in this war that we're being brought to, all the weapons that we have, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that seems that that's the only weapon that you and I really have to fight this good fight of faith. And that means you have to speak the word of God. You have to rebuke the demonic spirits. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And you are covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. And the power of the Spirit of God that raised up Jesus from the dead is dwelling in you. Therefore, death is never going to be an issue for you because the resurrection lives inside of you. The resurrection is not an event. It is a person. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And so the resurrection lives on the inside of you. So going into battle against principalities and powers to bind them up, to rebuke them, to cast them down, to tear down the strongholds of the devil, whether it's in your own life or in the lives of people around you, that should not be a concerning thing for you and I. I mean, because we are a people that will never die. Jesus said, do you believe this? We will never die. Because we live forever, because the Spirit, the eternal Spirit of God is dwelling within us. And so we may as well take our resources and our equipping into the battle. There's no way out of this battle, folks. We have been in boot camp. God is releasing us into this end time war that we've been talking about, and there's no way out of it. And so whether it's in the grocery store when somebody comes at you, whether it's a rude clerk or a rude this or some demonically possessed person comes around you, you are ready. You are ready for this battle, and you're going to have to be in that position to see 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, and it will not come nigh unto you. Now, I see Daniel's back on the air. Let me bring him back on. Daniel, can you hear me now?
I can. I don't know what happened
okay.
there.
I don't either. I was talking. I told a little joke about how we were going to keep you until 2024, and you just went bye-bye. I said, if you're coming in August of 2019, I said, let's count that out. We got to keep you here till 2024 because, of course, that's when the Great Tribulation will be over and the Lord will return, right? And anyways, in some people's calculations, that's it. So I just prepared you for a little bit longer of a journey with you and your family. Praise God. So anyways, we're talking about spiritual warfare. I believe in spiritual warfare very much. And I don't like to give power or credit or exaggerate spiritual things. But Daniel, the spiritual realm is very real. Demons are real. Grotesque demonic spirits are very real.
Yeah.
And you probably feel them wanting to get you at times.
Yeah, that's right. I was just talking with my son today. He's saying, Dad, why do we are we celebrating Halloween here now? And I'm not sure whether you all are aware of this, but Australia has, over the past 10 years, slowly has been adopting Halloween, which I think is a tragedy. I mean, if there's ever a holiday that we should adopt from America, it should be Thanksgiving, not Halloween.
Amen.
I mean, but it's just really, really disappointing. But anyway, I guess that's kind of reflective of the spiritual state of where Australia is at the moment. But there definitely is this demonic kind of a spirit behind this particular the holiday, which is really reflecting what the undercurrent of society at the moment, which is becoming more and more darker.
Well, absolutely. It's a wicked time. There's no doubt about it. And as a matter of fact, right here on our Omega Radio Network, God has really blessed this radio station. I always look back and think, wow, Lord, if you built this whole thing just to connect with Daniel Seckham, to be a part of what you're doing in his life, it was all worth it. This is just, overtime benefits. And yet somebody broke into our account. We don't have a lot. I think there was like $300 or in the PayPal account for this radio program anyways, because very few people support this ministry financially when it comes to Omega Radio, but it's connected to our bank account. And while we were gone, somebody got into the PayPal account, which is connected to the bank account, and started buying cameras at a store in California called Blue Water. And then somebody went to another website called Yooks, Y-O-O-X. It's a fashion design place, and purchased clothing. And thank God, I was on the phone all day yesterday. The clerks saw suspicious activity, and so they refunded it back. But because money was taken out of our account, then fees were added to the account. And so there's a lot of fraudulent stuff going on. There's a lot of darkness. And this is just the beginning of what's coming down the pike. And we need to be very full and prayed up and secured. And, who got hold of our password, who got into our account and did all of that. Only God knows. Just glad that the money was returned. It's not a lot, but it was enough to create a fee in the bank account. So I just want to reiterate to everybody out there, really be on the watch. Don't be loose about things. It's time to tighten up the belt. Go ahead, Daniel.
It's interesting because we have noticed an increase of demonic attacks even at my church. While I was in America, there was this strange individual that visited my church. He was covered in tattoos, and he came in and he brought his laptop with him, and he just went and kind of like sat at the back and basically was acting really kind of strange. And so when the pastor went up and spoke to him, he was very, very fidgety, and just incoherent. And so basically, to cut a long story short, the man kind of mentioned a few things where he was where he kind of threatened violence. And so my pastor basically asked some of the larger men in the church to keep an eye on him, and the pastor went outside and called the police. And then so the church started, and so in the middle of praise and worship, the police walked into the church. And then when that man saw the police, he kind of basically cooperated and walked out. But then we had another incident this Sunday where there was this other woman who just kept interrupting the pastor while he was preaching. And it kind of really did remind me of that incident with the fortune teller woman who kept following Paul and said, you know, this man is preaching the true gospel. You know, you need to listen to him. You know, I mean, what the slave woman was saying was correct, but she was being a nuisance, and this is exactly what was going on Sunday with this woman. I think she was she might have been on drugs, I'm not sure, but she was. We've just noticed over the past couple of weeks the increase of demonic attacks that have been going on, especially with churches that are actually awake in regard to what's actually going on in the world and are actually really assaulting the realm of the enemy. So it's very interesting times that we're living at the moment, Vincent.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Daniel, that it's not just in the churches. I mean, you heard what happened here a couple of days ago where a man walks in and kills 11 people at a Jewish synagogue in Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
11 Jewish people were killed at a baby signing, of all things, where this guy is ranting and raving about, anti-Semitic statements and so on and so forth. And now we have here the big battle in America is, the politicians and some of the public, we don't want Donald Trump to come until he denounces white nationalism. And, you know, so they've got the president as the Adolf Hitler of the day. He's a nationalist, and he says he's a nationalist. But you know what? I'm a nationalist, too, in the sense of I believe in nations, and I believe that we live in a nation here, and nations have borders. And you know what? What is the problem with being white today? You know, it's like the whole world is angry at anybody that wants to be white. And, you know, they want to go back in time and say, well, this white dominion mentality that white people ruled the world and they oppressed the world. And, you know, the last time I looked, the world was a pretty good place when white people were just doing their business. And I don't think there's anything wrong with white. You don't have to be a racist to say something about white. And, you know, I'm going to be singing this Christmas on purpose. It's a white Christmas. And somebody's going to accuse me of being a racist. I guarantee it. But you know, it also says in Revelation, we wear white robes. Does that make me a KKK guy because I get a white robe? And so, but that's what's moving right now.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, Vincent, like we were talking earlier how the left accuse us of the very things that they are guilty of themselves. Again, they accuse us of being racists, you know, when they are the ones that are doing all the race baiting by demonizing the white race. Like, it really, the hypocrisy is absolutely astounding. Now, President Trump did say that he was a nationalist, and he said it in the purest of terms, and simply saying that he is rather all about doing what's best for America, doing what's best for the nation. That's simply what he meant when he said that he is a nationalist. Now, the opposite of a nationalist is a globalist, and that's what Obama was. A globalist is someone who wants to erase all borders and get rid of the nations just so that there's just one global people. This is the spirit of Babel. This is the spirit of Babel, you know, and God destroyed Babel. He destroyed the power of Babel, you know, and I think the Babel is like a it's like a picture. It's like a what's the word I'm looking for? But the whole Babel thing is a picture of what we are to expect with Revelation 17 and 18 with the Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon is essentially a globalist civilization, you know, and that is intent on erasing all of its national distinctives, destroying all of the different diversity beautiful diversity that you find among the nations, and bringing it all together in one monoculture, a monoculture. See, the left will tell you that they're all about diversity, which is a lie. Again, this is the satanic inversion that goes on with them. They're not about diversity. They want a monoculture where everyone is the same, everyone features the same culture, and everyone thinks the same. Because if anyone doesn't think the same, then they become an anathema. They become a social outcast. So this is the thing. You know, thank God for nationalism. Praise God for nationalism. I mean, one of the most nationalist countries on the earth is the nation of Israel. You know, God has instituted nationalism among the nations, and that's something that we should never be ashamed of.
Amen. Amen. As you're talking, a scripture comes into my spirit, Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. And it's interesting, that word escape carries the meaning of flee out of. And that's what God said to the saints in Babylon when Babylon was about to be destroyed. He said, flee out of the midst of Babylon. Flee out. And so we have to be found worthy to escape or to flee out, because like in Nazi Germany, the warning was there, but many of the Jews remained. They did not, they were not found worthy to escape. Others did. They heard the word and they left. And I guess there was a difference in their spiritual conduct. And Daniel, it has to be reemphasized again and again. And I want every saint to hear this in verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 6. You have to know something. You're not dealing with little baby demons here. Listen, if you're a believer in Jesus in this world and you're taking your stand to be righteous in this world, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but you are wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. You're not fighting the soldiers. You're fighting the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. That doesn't sound like a light warfare to me in this end time battle.
Exactly.
Well, I'm sorry that guy walked into your church and did that. Maybe pastor's going to have to think of getting, a couple of guys that know how to use their sword. And by the way, when it comes to being prepared, this battle that we're in, you know, if you're going into war and you have a weapon, don't you need to make sure your weapon is ready to go? Make sure that the weapon of your warfare, which is the word of God, is ready to go, ladies and gentlemen. When you hear all these things going on in the world, make sure your weapon, the word of God, is polished and sharp, and you have been working with it, so you know how to wield that sword, you know how to release that word in due season. This is the most important part. Daniel, we're down to just a couple of minutes. Your final thoughts before we get off the air today.
Well, I think my final thoughts is just to state is to, you know, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And I think like we were talking about earlier, where we were saying that, if there's ever a time in history of the church, where the saints need to hear the voice of God, it's now, you know. And those who are actually are up the front, as close to the shepherd, hear his voice more clearer. And I think it's, you know, and but those who are further away from the flock, from the master, don't get to hear his voice as clearer. So all I can say is just press into Jesus, and the more you press into Jesus, the more you will hear his voice, and the more his direction will become more and more apparent. You know, we cannot afford in the day that we are living in at the moment to have a fuzzy connection with God. It has to be absolutely crystal clear in these days that we're living in, because you know, it could very well be that our lives will be depending on it.
Well, amen to that. Daniel, thank you so much for joining me on the air. We will be back And we'll continue the conversation. And we'll be praying for you in Australia and for your church and your pastor. Got to go, my friend. God bless you. We love you. We'll talk with you soon. Goodbye,
God,
everybody.
You.
See you tomorrow. Here's a little song by Keith Green.
Do you see? Do you see all the people sinking down? Don't you care? Don't you care? Are you gonna let them drown? How can you be so numb not to care if they come? You close your eyes and pretend the job's done. Oh, bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. You know, it's all I ever hear. No one aches, no one hurts, no one even sheds one tear. But he cries, he weeps, he pleads, and he cares for your needs. And you just lay back and keep soaking it in. Oh, can't you see it's such a sin? He brings people to your door and you turn them away. And you smile and say, God bless you, be at peace, and all heaven just weep. Cause Jesus came to your door, you've left him out on the street. Open up, open up, and give yourself away. You see the need, you hear the cries, so how can you delay? God's calling, and you're the one, but like Jonah, you're running. He's told you to speak, but you keep holding.